is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I am running for a good cause. What a way to celebrate your birthday. And we say once again, happy birthday to Mr. Strawn. In honor of Mr. Strawn's birthday, I'm going to try some of this cocoa plum amaretto before I go to bed. After I get home. Once my driving is done for the day, then I shall sample the cocoa plum amaretto. But you know, I'm extremely excited about it because I learned this spring, earlier in the year, at the Lucayan Archipelago residency and the Ponciana Paper Press residency, I learned that, one, cocoa plum is indigenous to the Bahamas. Two, it is indigenous throughout the region. Three, we call it cocoa plum in the Lower Caribbean. They call it fat pork. Four, further south in the Caribbean, they don't have the black or they don't have the pink and the white cocoa plum or the yellow cocoa plum. But here's the most interesting things that I learned about the cocoa plum during that residency. The fruit, we can produce a dye from the fruit, a violet dye, and from the leaves, the bark, and the stems, we can produce a black dye that is waterproof. If you notice, if you are a cocoa plum picker, your clothes get stained. That's because that fruit has these natural properties. Now, that's the most valuable thing I think I learned, but the most fascinating thing is this question. We call it the cocoa plum, and I imagine because it looks like the fruit of the cocoa plum, the flesh looks like the flesh of the cocoa plant when you open it up, that we get chocolate from, because it's white on the inside, right? And I imagine that they call it fat pork lower in the Caribbean because pork fat when it has cooled. Right? And I think it's very interesting how we name things. And here's another two examples that people should be very familiar with. We have a thing called Benny Cake. Benny Cake is made with a little seed, a whole bunch of little seeds. We call Benny.
Sesame.
Benny is also known as sesame. In the world, it's known as sesame. When you go into your higher-end markets in the country, you're going to find a product on the shelf called tahini. Tahini is simply Benny paste.
Extremely healthy.
It is just Benny paste. We call it Benny. We have no idea where it is in the world because other people don't call it Benny. They call it sesame. You know, when you go to the Asian restaurants, you may go for sushi, you may go for Chinese dinner, you're going to find lots of entrees and dishes with sesame on it. These too, right? Another example, fever grass. We tend to name things by what they're good for. Some people, other cultures, name things by what they taste like or smell like. We have a thing we call fever grass. We call it fever grass because we use it to treat fevers. Fever grass. This is the same thing as lemongrass. The very same thing. So we're going to go. We have a number of high-end restaurants in the country that feature lemongrass in their dishes. They feature dishes where, or cuisines where lemongrass is a staple, the same way thyme is a staple to Bahamians. They use it to bring a lemon citrusy flavor to the dish. We don't use it to cook. We use it to treat fevers because it's valuable. It's medicine. And we have lime, right? But these are just some facts you may not see when you walk in throughout your country. Joining me today is Ms. Diana Hamilton. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Aaron.
Diana Hamilton is a musician, a cultural advocate, and stakeholder. She is a, I want to say she is a cultural historian and works to preserve, right, cultural practice and to ensure that we have entrenched in our annals of history the experience of culture in the country. Now, today, Ms. Hamilton, I forget that today is the last day before the advance poll. So people want to talk about politics.
Of course.
I'm hoping that people want to talk about the things that they see with their own eyes as opposed to the things that they heard about or somebody told them that they saw, right? It's like this segment is called A Pedestrian View. Because I used to be a pedestrian, and because I lived in England, I was poor. And people living like in major cities like London, their whole life, they're pedestrians, right? There's nothing wrong with being a pedestrian. It's not a class marker or indicator.
No, it's a way of enjoying the world.
And
of course, in France, you have the open market in absolutely every section, every arrondissement would be district.
Yeah.
And so two or three times a week, the products come in and people come and they buy their fresh foods and vegetables that they're going to cook and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm. And so being a pedestrian,
yes,
and being a driver,
that's,
is two totally different perspectives on the world. Entirely different perspectives. And it fascinates me, right? Like how our perspective and our mode of moving through the world changes when we're in a car versus when we're on foot. Like I've seen the very same people who in, but when they are using the roadway, they demand as a pedestrian that their rights are respected, right?
And so
for the show today, we are going to open the line. We're talking politics. I don't want, okay, I sound like a wife telling a husband how he should live his life. I would prefer today, I want to hear sort of different perspectives. Like, did you go to the rally? What did you see? And what did that make you think? Like, how did you go to the rally? Did what you see impact the way that you're going to vote? Are rallies important, right, in this electoral process? And how are they important? See, because I'm going to say, and I've said it before, I don't go to rallies. First of all, I don't drink.
Is that what they're about?
I mean, there's a lot of drinking going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what they're about.
Okay.
Second of all, my car and I have a relationship. I don't like to put my car in risky situations, right? So me and my car don't like to be where not only are people drinking, but the entire atmosphere is one of looseness, right? So I don't go to rallies, but rallies do have value, right? I'm not saying they don't have value, but the things that are being said at rallies are not necessarily the things that are of value to me. Because after successive years of listening to things that people have said at rallies and then attempting to hold them to account for those things said, they indicate that, oh, this is a rally. You can't take what we say at a rally seriously. So I take them on their word. I won't take it seriously then. But rallies do have value, just not the value that they say it has for me. And so I want this segment, the pedestrian view, not just for politics, but the idea of exploring different perspectives when it comes to things. Right? Like, I just saw a text and it made me laugh. Text, we're going to get to that in a second. Like this morning, somebody sent me a video of a pony being transported in a small car, a Paso, a member of the small car union, a Paso. Mm-hmm. And it's the most hilarious thing. And I thought, but this is, like, I'm laughing at it, like, at how ridiculous this is, right? Mm-hmm. But for many people, this is, like, normal. This is just normal, right? And I thought, this is normal. Because this government is like a pony in a Paso government, right? Like, as far as I'm concerned, when I saw that, it's like I needed to see that because I think that's the perfect, it's not allegory, maybe metaphor for this government. It's like a pony in a Paso. If the pony could fit in the Paso, why it can't ride? Right? Like, that's... Like, I'm thinking that's what the people who put the pony say. If the pony could fit in the Paso, why it can't ride? Right? Well, it can't ride because the seatbelt don't fit. That's it. That's the reason why a pony can't ride in the Paso, because everybody in a Paso must have a seatbelt. Mm-hmm. But to the people who put the pony in the Paso, there's nothing wrong with putting the pony in the Paso.
And you mean the pony is not attached?
No, it's not like there's a trailer attached to the vehicle and the pony is safely stored in the trailer.
Horses being carried.
Right.
Okay.
Being carried professionally. No, no, no. Old boy was sitting in the back seat.
Oh, God.
Chilling out. Right? So I want to say that, like, I can appreciate that the people who put the pony in the Paso don't see anything wrong with it. Plus, how are they going to move the Paso? I mean, the pony, you can't put him on a jitney. Right? Like, how are I going to move the pony? The thing is, that's not the only... It's a very old video, but that's not the only video. There's multiple videos of this pony being moved around in a Paso. They do this regularly. See, I could imagine... See, it's an emergency. No, it's an emergency. Oh, the pony... I need to get the pony back to the stable. Pronto, before they start charging me more money. I don't know. One time, maybe. But I think it's become a mode of transportation. Because it's a pony. If it could fit, it could ride, right? And I think that's the rule of the road. From my perspective, it makes no sense. But I imagine from other people's perspective. Now, Ms. Hamilton, somebody asked me just now, morning, Erin, you get your power clean. Yet. I didn't know they clean. They send us clean electricity. I have to clean all the electricity when it comes to the house. I have to clean it myself before I send it through the line. I didn't know y'all get. But I think they're referring to this headline in today's paper, government wipes BPL bills. That's the headline. It will affect residents on Grand Key and Moores Island, Abaco. 2 weeks before the May 12th general election, the Davis administration said yesterday that it is wiping away the electricity bills of, quote, qualifying, close quotes, residents on Grand Key and Moores Island, Abaco, who were reportedly affected by, quote, longstanding electricity billing, close quotes, issues that arose in the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian and made worse by the COVID-19 pandemic. Right? See, got their bills wiped. I'm sure they're very happy. Mm. And I don't think anybody is begrudging them.
No, of course not.
Right?
No.
If I try to launch into critical interrogation of why this is a problem, there will be a lot of people saying, man, you just want poor people to suffer. Let them get a bligh where they get a bligh. Right?
It seems like there are a lot of gifts during this period. I just had never really paid attention. But I walk around and I hear people saying, you know, this is the moment, you got it. And I'm going like, you know, well, maybe we should focus on real issues as opposed to this gratification on the, you know.
Right, but I appreciate that, right? But my power going off is a real issue.
It is a real issue.
Right, me being unable, I'm working and still unable to amass enough cash to pay the real issue, right? And so, like I said, a conversation about perspective, for me, it raises the question of charity versus structural reform. How do we say to people who are in real desperate need right now that we are asking you to commit to a broader process? We are asking you to trust that if we can change the system, if we can reform it, if we can fix it, then you will not have to rely on the handouts of patrons, that you, an ordinary citizen,
I see where you're going.
John Doe, Jane Doe, no name needed. You don't need to, you know, protocol does not have to be established. We don't need to know who your people are. That how do we convince people that a commitment to creating structural reform has value and will pay off
in the long run.
In the long run,
healthy for everyone,
right? And call it, hold the line for me. While they sit the very real and imminent risk of ruination, they, along with that calculation, is can I trust that this is actually going to happen? Because somebody said this to me before, Ms. Green. Can I trust that everybody who says they're working for reforms are actually working for reforms?
Well, how do you, when the person is saying, can I trust, then what? It means that they've heard it before and it didn't happen, or what does it mean?
Well, I think it means that they are very aware of how things work and can possibly go awry, right? I want to say we're not negating them. I think they are savvy in the calculation. But let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin Go.
Good morning. How you doing?
To your guest.
Good morning.
First thing I want to say is, can you ask the producer, I think, to turn your guest mic up or ask her to speak louder? Because coming through the phone, I could hardly hear her at all.
Is that better?
I'm not hearing what she's saying.
All right. Thank you.
So, no problem. But, Erin, what I wanted to say is, you know, if you were told the comments that I was as a child growing up, it's better to teach a man how to fish versus giving him a fish.
Yeah.
And expect the PNP administrations over the years, from I was growing up, I've heard it more under them than I've heard it under the F. Now, I know both do it, but I've heard it more and more widespread under them and more loudly spoken about under them than the other. So why is it so important for them to give you the fish versus, like you say, make it possible for me to fish myself? Because in the beginning, you give me that fish. What have I eaten for the last 5 years? Will you bring more fish daily or weekly to me? I'm not even going to see you for your track record, the way I'm speaking on your track record. I'm not going to see you after that. So then what I'm supposed to starve for the next 5 years? And this is where behemoths need to grow up. Stop it. Because you're selling out the country for one loaf of bread for one single day. We can't do that any longer. We need to vote maturely.
I hear you, right? I hear you. But let's be realistic. I'm not deriding what you're saying, right? I want to bring another perspective to it. I live a very comfortable life, even though personally I am below the poverty line, you know. But because of my family, I live a relatively comfortable life. So I'd be on the radio talking these things, and people will come to me in the community I live in and in other places and say, man, Green, like, you sound like that sounds good, but you don't understand because you ain't living it. Right.
No, I understand that point too, you know, but guess what? If they make it possible for you to learn how to fish and feed yourself and then eventually your family, you know, you won't start, or you will work your way into living it good or living it comfortably, like you say. Because a lot of us here, we are under the poverty, we are under the poverty line, but we're still okay. This is why every time you turn around, the airport is loaded with us traveling because we can afford to.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? But if you make it possible, we will be able to do that and still save, because like the Bible say, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you feed me every day, I leave nothing. I have nothing to leave for my children.
Yeah.
Not much less my grandchildren. You understand me? Mm-hmm. So teach us how to... Teach us these things. Let us learn by your example. Let us see what it is that you're doing. Let me see why you're going in being a thousandaire and come out a millionaire in four and a half years. You know, teach me that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is why...
Thank you, Colin. Thank you very much.
I think this is, Erin, this is why I always keep the perspective of what it was like for me growing up and what it has become, because I grew up in communities where people were doing that. They were doing their own fishing. They were, you know, killing their own chickens. They were growing their own food. We were climbing trees, and we were healthy, and we were smart, okay, and self-sufficient. So something happened that has reduced so many Bahamians to
patronage
and the patronage, kind of. And it's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy to the psyche at
and the
all.
Numbers of people on the street are growing.
Yeah, let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to get to that. A very troubling circumstance. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Awesome, and good morning to the nation. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning,
Miss Green. I think. You know, I heard your last person speak with respect to teaching how to fish versus giving a man a fish, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we have teach our people how to be lazy. We have taught them how not to fish for their family because, you know, we make so much excuses and we put our people in a position where they're very dependent. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But in my humble submission, if a man is hungry and the water is in front of him, he's going to find a line and throw it in that water and pull a fish out of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In most cases, God give us all common sense. And he also said the same sight he gives to the rich, he gives to the poor.
Now, so, cutting you off, we're going to continue the conversation. See, I know a guy, like right now, see the ocean, if you're hungry enough, you can find something to fashion a line and catch fish. I know a guy right now, right? He thinks that Shirley and Mackie Street is his ocean. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And he thinks Island, his wit, is his line.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks that when the light turns red, that's God stopping the fish in the shoreline for him to go scoop them up. Right?
Ms. Green,
yes, sir.
You're a very intelligent woman. I must say, you are very... And you... See... One thing with you, you know how to, in spite of how good something sounds, you know, coming from someone else, you know how to analyze that and put it in a content where the common man could understand it. And that's what I appreciate about you.
Mm-hmm. And
you don't just take whatever people say and run with it. You analyze it yourself and you put your perspective on it. And I appreciate that.
Yeah,
because what you are saying is very, very true and correct. Okay? That's his ocean at that red light. That is his ocean, and that is him throwing his line in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, I mean, you can't... See, we can't take one scenario and put it to everything.
Yeah.
Okay? Because different scenarios work for different things. So my thing is, yeah, it is the government's responsibility to teach people how to fish. It is their responsibility to put things in perspective where people can make money to survive, okay? But you cannot force a man, okay? You can't, the government can't come and hit you side your head and say, listen, I'm trying to teach you how to fish, let's fish.
Okay,
you
listen,
can't do that.
Stick a pin. I love what you're saying. I want to say this. Ensure that the environment is such that you can learn how to fish, right?
Correct.
And if they see that somebody is unable to learn, then they do have a responsibility to that person and the other people around him. Here's why. Because if he can't figure out how to fish, eventually he can start taking other people's fish. Why? Because he's hungry and he got children. And so, but I appreciate what you're saying. It's the environment that they're responsible for. I love what you're saying. Keep going.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Green. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. It's it's about perspective. I'm not dissing the guy who sees that red light as his ocean, as his opportunity to fish and catch a fish, right? And the question is, as a society, we responsible because we've shown him, well, this, you can find your own ocean. I'm not responsible for you either, right? But it's all about perspective, you know? Let's go to the caller, and then, Diane, we're going to get back into it. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green and your guests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we have to be realistic. Most of the complaints coming here from New Providence about the government, we need the government. It doesn't matter which government is in power.
Mm-hmm.
The government is responsible for to help the people the best way they know how.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct, Ms. Green?
To create an environment in which people...
environment-friendly for the people to be able to sustain themselves.
And make the best choices. Yes, sir?
Yes. But listen, let's be realistic, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
How those people who live on those far-fetched family islands,
that's what they
do. Made it all their lives without depending on the government, except for essential assets like infrastructure and utilities and, you know, the regular everyday thing that a person needs to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The government didn't have to come and teach them how to fish. But the problem in New Providence, I've seen in the last probably 20 years, not everybody, but the majority of person depend on the government for everything. But this time around, the government has put in a lot of programs in place for the young people. That's why they're gravitating to a particular party at this time.
I hear you.
And they see the opportunity for them to survive being entrepreneurs.
Now, stick a pin right there, right? I want to go back to something you said earlier. The juxtaposition of family island life and New Providence life, right?
Yes.
I think that what has happened to a lot of young people who have moved to New Providence, or family, right? That's the three. Mm-hmm. That there's a big gap that's missing.
Yes, it is. It is.
Because
they moved to something that they are not used to.
Yeah.
And the only thing they're doing is aligning themselves with what's taking place in New Providence.
Yeah.
Because if they were back on the family island, they can't tell their parents, oh, we're on the government to do this. Their parents will slap them inside the head and make them go in the fields or go fishing.
And so what I would love to see is maybe local government and community partnership, right?
Yeah.
That each island has, like how we have the Ministry of Public Works and Family Island Affairs.
Same thing under local government.
I wanted that portfolio of Family Island Affairs. A segment of that is ensuring that people, when they migrate from the exterior to the interior, that they could connect to resources. Now, that don't necessarily mean grocery and voucher. It may mean information, right? And that you could keep a channel to ensure that if you need help, at the very least, you could turn to your Family Island Association.
Yes, because they'll still have an avenue to turn to in order to sustain them in the correct order they need to be in.
Yes, sir.
To survive.
Yes, sir. Because I think...
Thank you, man.
Absolutely. Not just a lack of, like, resources or physical and financial resources and infrastructure, but a lack of social infrastructure as well.
I just think we keep patching and... that we need to remember that every life on this planet, if we look at nature, a bird will never lay an egg before building a nest, and we are no different.
Mm-hmm.
It's somehow we have walked away from the things that we have inbuilt in us. We're supposed to be industrious. We're supposed to work and earn by the sweat of our... Is that it?
Yeah, and not...
And the problem I want to raise is that as long as we are an economy that is solely based on mass tourism, these are some... You will find this common denominator everywhere. So I'm not saying get rid of tourism. I'm saying it's to every other facet that human beings live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's wrong. And so when people move away from the land... They lose their culture. Mm-hmm. They lose their contact with nature, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Every animal builds a nest before they deliver the baby. Let's go to the phone line, and then we have a slew of texts, Diana. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning to your wonderful guest.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, the lady's right, you know, but they got one or two with us run some of the existing animals up their dens in order to avoid the work.
Mm-hmm.
So they are shrewd and they are smart also, but as it relates to thinking for ourselves, right, Ms. Green?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that common sense is out the door, but that's just a part of being free.
Yes.
You don't allow people to think for you. So as a reader, you analyze things for yourself. And so this particular topic that you're on, it's a no-brainer. The question is the timing of this. I don't have no problem with the government having the family island, but I'm interested to teach people in New Providence who grew up in the city. So maybe we could teach them something else. But for me, I just like the amount of PSYOPs officers that we call. And firstly, this is not the government money. This is the taxpayers' money.
I see you're sharp waking. You're waking. That's a Bahamian who waking, right? And we understand there are Bahamians who can't work for various reasons. Your value is not in what you could produce for the community. You hear that? We go into a break. That voice? That's Diana Hamilton, who's in studio with me this morning. This is one of her newest songs, No Migrants. No Migrants. You can hear more of this on tomorrow's show. You know tomorrow is Advanced Poll Day, right? So we go into a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to read through all of the texts and we're going to respond to them as we close out the show.
That was a paid political message.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300. 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible. Work with the brightest minds and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Under the F&M, shantytowns grew. The PLP is demolishing them. The F&M made it easier to get a passport. The PLP fixed their mess and is cracking down on fraud. The F&M let investment in the Defense Force slow to a crawl. The PLP added hundreds of officers and new interceptors. Under the F&M, migrants flooded into the Bahamas. The PLP repatriated record numbers. The F&M offers talk. The PLP offers a real record. Paid for by the PLP.
Roll with the best for all your printing needs. There ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The world is changing. It's bringing new challenges, but also new opportunities. The truth is, our economy always left too many Bahamians out. Now we're opening new doors in agriculture, tourism, energy, entrepreneurship, providing grants, scholarships, national service, and upskilling. A new generation is rising, and we're finally moving in the right direction, building an economy that includes everyone.
Paid for by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
you know migrants sleeping on the ground? They all have beds in Shantytown.
Oh, my sweet Bahama land. What about...
Back to On the Clock with... Is this a Pony and a Paso government green? Let's get to the text line, Diana. As a text, it says, good day, I want the gift of good governance. PLP progress loading. Please wait. As the text says, it says, good morning, Aaron. Quote, I don't like to go places where there's too much looseness going on. Close quotes. They say, you're the best. I just saying, you see, I used to be a gay rights advocate. I mean, I still am, you know, even though like the gay people are advocating differently now, but that's okay. Then young people got to do the... See, I have to have the grace and the space to let them advocate the way they think is necessary. But people used to threaten to kill me. They used to say any manner of things to me in the public if they knew who I was, right? And so I had to moderate my own movements after filing like 3 different reports about how I was having the police come back to my house and say the Batelco has determined that the threat is not sufficient to warrant further investigation. Mm. See, when you remember things like that, you always remember you have to moderate. If you can't moderate other people's behavior, you got to moderate your own behavior. Here's another text. Our culture justifies all manner of evil in exchange for a dollar. No PLP MP is speaking out against egregious campaign practices by the current administration. Hold on. Let me just say this properly. Egregious. That's the King's English. Okay? Don't get hooked up on this line with the COI. And the last administration person say that was 6 years ago, not realizing change will not come from an MP. It comes from what we demand now. Ignore FNM and PLP breaches and perks, and we will see it again, no matter who wins. Another text, Aaron, the short view is why Bahamians, including me, the text says including them, are encumbered by debt for things that are not what loans are used for by those who know how to fish. The short view, the patronage system is a deliberate result of, is a deliberate strategy employed by a political directorate that knows that abdication of civic and community responsibility leads to sustained political power. Let me read that again. Aaron, the short view is why Bahamians, including the texter, are encumbered by debt for things that are not what loans are used for by those who, quote, know how to fish, close quotes. The short view, the patronage system is a deliberate result of a deliberate strategy employed by a political directorate that knows that abdication of civic and community responsibility leads to sustained political power. I can shorten it even more. Plantation model politics and plantation model economics. Let's go to the phone line. They have insisted. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Yes, ma'am. Morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine, thanks. Now, Aaron, this morning it was 7:30 on Rosetta Street between Montreal and Montrose Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Navy or Royal Blue Honda, either Civic or Accord, license plate number TE1727, literally opened their car door on 2 occasions. First time they threw in the street 2 or 3 pieces of hands out of tissue paper.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second time they opened and actually throw an empty Coke can in the road. You know, literally did that, you know, intentionally.
Yeah.
You know? So license plate DE1727, navy blue Honda, either Civic or Accord, you are filthy, okay? And people that you have are city, so dirty.
Absolutely.
Right, so when these people tell me to call them out.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
In paper, they legit twice.
I wish I had gotten, thank you very much, I wish I had gotten the license plate of that police truck that flew around the stop sign by the emergency room with no horn and no siren, as if there was no actual emergency.
Aaron, can I give you a sort of an analogy?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a company and you hire people to work in that company, do you leave your company and allow them to work, or do you keep checking on them to make sure your business is being handled correctly?
You keep checking on them.
So this is what I would like to throw out to our Bahamians and we love them, right? Is that once you elect a government, doesn't matter who it is, you can't expect them to function unless you are there and you are making sure that they do what you want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is something that if we could do this, it would change the grievances and the sense of despondency, and I've seen it all. It's because we have a responsibility to be present and to make sure that they work.
As citizens, that's
our job to make sure
that those who work for us are doing what they ought to do.
And it's not going to happen because we wish it. It's not wishful thinking, okay? You don't wish your employees work. You make sure they work.
In fact, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yeah, hello, hello.
Hi, morning.
Yeah, the compressor cut on, but I didn't get to finish. But yeah. I want you to investigate this, but this is something that was given to me by some students who work, I guess, for the Ministry of Labor.
Hold on, you want to send it to me? Hold on,
they were not paid, so I just wanted to verify that.
All right.
I think it's true because they wouldn't tell me to put it on the air.
And what type of job was it?
It was a temporary job for the summer. They were not paid.
They still haven't been paid?
Okay. They're still being owed then.
Yeah, I got you.
So all of this front paper giving away money and...
I got you. Yeah.
Let's see what... So they should be proud of that. Other pensions being denied.
I got you.
Just the Lima Sound, she has the best voice in the world.
Hamilton, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's go to the next caller quickly.
Hello.
Good morning, caller.
Hello, how are you doing, Ms. Green?
Good, thank you. How are you?
All right, listen. You know the thing about it is, Ms. Green?
Mm-hmm.
We got some analog leaders trying to lead in the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
And we also inherit a system where most of the laws that they still keep on our books are antiquated. They were made to govern a colony, not to build a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we got this slave mentality going on. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, in the 1960s, we had a different color hue as the oppressor. But the oppression's still here, but they just changed color.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation in the Bahamas is that unless we build a nation, you know, Ms. Green, I think Cuban Minister tried to address it. It was illegal for behemoths to have a certain amount of U.S. money in their pocket.
In fact, no, did you know, it's still... You're not supposed to have U.S. dollars. When you get U.S. dollars, you're supposed to turn them into central bank.
And the thing about it is, because it isn't enforced, that doesn't mean it's still on the law book. Mm. They need to take these antiquated stuff off the law book. And you know, a lot of the reasons why the politicians didn't take it off their law book. They want to rule over us. The oligarchies want to rule over us. And they don't want to take these laws off our book. If we open up this country and we can bring in foreign money there to invest, like we should as a nation, then they can't rule over us no more. It'd be too hard to govern.
Yeah.
Because there will be other families have a certain amount of money to also do investment. When they get to the top, they want to be crowded, you know.
I hear you.
No, they want what they want to do. If they want their friends, family, and lovers to stay in place.
I hear you. Thank you very much. You make me think of something. You make me think of Article 73-1A of the Bahamas Constitution that says on any occasion that the Governor General must appoint a Prime Minister, they must appoint the leader of the party that commands the most seats, the majority of seats in the House of Assembly. That clause to me tells me that we are not a democracy, that we are a dictatorship. That's what we are. And the most we could hope for is a benevolent dictator. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I am fine and fabulous. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
But we're in the heat of political season, and I am definitely one for real change, being part of the Coalition of Independence. I just wanted to say you are doing a great job holding everybody's feet to the fire.
Thank you.
At the end of the day, it boils down to we as Bahamians, not just leaders. A lot of things going on is because of what we have done as a people. And if we repent and do better, we will elect better and we will do better as a nation.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You continue being you, honey.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think that we read the Bible a lot, but I think we have a responsibility. We've been given a body. And that body is the temple of the Spirit, and it is each of us' responsibility to maintain that body, keep it well so that life can manifest. And I believe when I grew up, they were doing a better job. Maybe we couldn't do this and do that because of color, but there was a sense of well-being, and we must be grateful to our ancestors. Mm-hmm. We must remember how they did it. We have to be inspired by something other than money. Money is not what makes you happy.
Money is not real.
And it's not a real thing. And it's not what we're supposed to be on earth to do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just keeps, you get this feeling of always needing more when you speak money. But if you think of life and breath and, mm-hmm. and nature, we have it. We are rich. We have everything we need. And every human being is capable of living their dreams.
But we also, like, and this is not to in their thinking or their strategies, the way they're navigating the world. We understand that things aren't things. This is a plantation. Let's go to the last caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Thank God for life and good morning to your guest, Ms. Green. I have to echo what the lady says. You're doing a good job keeping everyone's foot to the fire.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job. Ms. Green,
yay.
Can you say all of the stuff what happened with the registry and everything and people who ain't born yet, names are there? Born in 2059, people saying it's a mistake, but could I know you might not be a lawyer, could someone, would people be held responsible? Would you think it starts with the minister or the government to take some responsibility for this whole thing, knowing that election is so important? Hang up and listen, thanks.
Here's what I'm going to say, that any breach or concern, any challenge will go before the courts after the election, right? That's my understanding of the law. I will say this, though. I don't think it's unreasonable for us to ask Mr. Philip Brave Davis, Prime Minister of the Bahamas, what was the rationale for calling the election so early? Did you make an assessment of the capacity of the PRD to deliver what is statutorily and constitutionally required? Right? Did you make an assessment before you made the decision to call the election at the time? Reasonable or unfair of us to ask that question? Because maybe we wouldn't have all of these concerns, which I think are reasonable concerns, if the PRD had more time to prepare for the process. I'm just saying. Anyway, that's the end
Thank
of the show.
Thank you, Erin.
What's the name of the song?
This is Under My Bahamian Flag.
Lovely. We can play these tomorrow as well. Tomorrow's Advanced Poll Day, so talk all your politics today. We're talking something different tomorrow. But stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
Baby cries in pain that needs it to proceed. Need to be loved and cherished and kept safe from harm. I give my love, my heart, and my devotion to serve the truth under my Bahamian flag.
In radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.